When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you. Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, December 5th. And we've got another lineup of stories for everybody.
We're in December.
Today. Oh, well, we made it.
We're almost through the end of the year.
Someone posted a meme that was like, the fact that it's December now means time flies even when you're not having fun.
It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Damn.
Sometimes time just flies, man.
Just right underneath you. I saw another meme. It was just me. It says people born in 1987, which I'm in 1986. And it was like running from 40 because we're all like hitting like 38, 39. And man, I truly am feeling that. I was like, damn, another year. You know, your birthday comes, but when the year is ending, it makes you take stock. But we're spending it all with you guys, which no better way.
Yeah. Here's to 2026.
Everybody. Here we go. Wait, we'll get it right this time. It's like when
Are we going to do it?
When we were recording during the pandemic, we're like, it'll only be 2 weeks. We'll only have to stay in for 2 weeks. Everybody will be cool. It'll all be okay.
Yeah. And then,
so just like that, 2026, it'll be, everybody's going to start being cool. It'll all go away. Right? It'll be great.
We'll see. I'm manifesting it. We'll see. I hope more than anything, I hope that that is what happens.
All I want for Christmas.
That is just like Jodie Sweetin. And she was asked to, and she said, what do I want for Christmas? For some asshole to be out of the White House. And I was like, fuck yeah, Jodie Sweetin.
Hell, motherfucking yeah. Full, that she's representing Full House, right?
Full House, yeah. Yeah. I feel Stephanie. Like most of them turned out good, right?
DJ is, she started doing like,
is she the one that's, yeah, okay. I knew one of them was a Cameron, Kirk Cameron-esque, because she is a Cameron, right?
Yeah, she is. That's her brother, yeah.
Yeah, Candace. Cameron. Okay.
So I think she's sort of leaning
she's the other way.
Yeah, I think so. But Stephanie, okay. Jodie Sweetin will just get arrested in protests and stuff. She's a bad bitch. I love her.
Nice.
I was like, how rude. Like, she was so funny back then and grew up to be like, you know what's rude? Human rights violations, and puts her body on the line. Like,
did she say how rude? I thought the twins said how rude.
No, they said, you got it, dude.
Oh, okay. I thought they also said how rude, but she said how rude. Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, man.
Yeah, it's Stephanie.
Time flies when you're just living. And that was a long time ago.
Dude, right? Existence. But man, what a list of stories we've got today. Thanks to everybody who sends them in. And if y'all listening, this sparks a story for you. Please, several folks say that they were inspired by others in this. And that's the web of stories that we share.
The web. There's webs of lies and deceit and then webs of storytelling and positivity.
Webs of sharing and connection.
Yes. There's all sorts of webs. They don't have to just be, because when you think of web, immediately a spider web comes to mind, which kind of evokes like creepiness to me.
I always think World Wide Web. That's crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like,
I think spider web.
Well, like,
I'm walking in the World Wide Web.
Get your hands out like Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's me. Well, we do have a lineup ending on one that is intended to get everyone in the holiday spirit.
Holly jolly.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Sam, and it is called Campus Attack. Howdy, Heather and Christy. I'm a new fan and have been stoked to find such an amazing podcast with so much brilliant, funny, spooky, and creepy content. My story is about a crime that happened just outside of my workplace back in 2023. I work in an academic library at the Australian National University, or ANU, in Canberra, Australia. This attack occurred on a stunning spring day, just before 3 p.m. on Monday, 18 September. The attacker, Alex Ofell, first hit a man in the face with a frying pan. He then approached and stabbed one young woman multiple times, then chased down a second young woman and stabbed her as well. Lastly, he punched a man in the face before police were on the scene, where they tased and immobilized Ofell. The young women had been relaxing with each other under a tree when Ofell approached and attacked them. Absolutely horrifying stuff. For us librarians, it was a typical Monday afternoon. Eerily, one of my colleagues had seen young people relaxing outside under the trees just moments before the attack and mused that she wanted to be out there enjoying the weather. We all found out an attack had occurred because some terrified students had run into the library, crying and yelling someone had been attacked. The staff member came out back and alerted us, and we all looked out the window to a scene I will never forget. The police had a man pinned to the ground, and there was a swath of paramedics surrounding one of the victims in a flurry of desperate action trying to save her life. The attacker, Ofell, was known to police. He was already locked away in a mental health facility for an attack he committed at ANU in 2018. During that incident, armed with a baseball bat, he attacked his tutor and three other students in the middle of a statistics class. The attack ended when a student tackled Ofell to the ground in a bear hug. Apparently, the baseball bat was Ofell's weapon of choice because the physicality of the weapon was, quote, important to him. Ultimately, he was found not guilty due to mental impairment, was deemed a threat to society, and was not to be released until treating doctors believed he was no longer a threat. On the day of the 2023 attack, he was on day leave from the Gwangle Mental Health Unit in Bruce to go on a bushwalk. No one died in either of these attacks. As of today, 21/11/25, he still has not faced justice over the 2023 attacks. The last article I could find about this case is from July of last year. He has pled not guilty due to mental impairment. I've attached the 2019 Supreme Court decision, which outlines details about his mental state and beliefs that led to the 2018 attacks. I'll let you elaborate on these details because they are too abhorrent for me to type. I hope Ofell is kept locked away for a long time because he has shown now, twice, that he will do everything he can to cause as much pain to others as possible. That's it from me for now. Stay safe, y'all, and keep it creepy.
Well, that is an eerie day to have just thought, I'd like to be outside and all that, and then learn that folks outside enjoying all that are just out of nowhere attacked.
Yeah, it reminds me of the White Rock massacre case we covered, as well as another Freaky Friday where she was attacked and on the minutes after being on the phone with her sister outside enjoying the day. Yeah. And I read the Supreme Court decision about what happened at the first attack at this university that he committed. And I mean, terrifying stuff. It was very premeditated. He got up, went to school with all the stuff he needed. He took the baseball bat and a duffel bag and a piece of cardboard and duct tape that he used, or his intention was to put it over the window of the classroom so people couldn't see, because he originally had planned a lot of things. One, he was going to lock people in a bathroom and attack them as they came out. Then it was the statistics class. And he did significant damage to 5 or 6 of the students there, like cranial injuries, traumatic brain injuries.
Critical condition, yes.
Yeah. I mean, no one died, but, you know, traumatic brain injuries can alter your life forever. And it's wild to me that he was let out to go for a bushwalk. Knowing all of this, he had also, trigger warning, had said he had planned to rape one of the girls in the statistics class. Mm-hmm. And she was going to be the only one that he didn't kill. I believe he was tackled before anything got to that point. But the intentions were known, and these mm-hmm. have been known for years. So why was he let out? And then did the it wasn't a baseball bat, but he certainly attacked people very violently.
Yeah, blunt object. Well, the Supreme Court case, thank you for sending that to us. It was fascinating that in Australia versus in Texas, when someone is in Australia, you're convicted of the crime, but the mens rea, like the mental state, is then goes toward your sentencing. Whereas in Texas, there's not really a crime, and instead you're not guilty, so you're not convicted, but you go then to a mental health facility until you're determined that you're no longer a threat. It's usually commitment based on dangerousness. Whereas here it was like the judge almost has to go through a hypothetical exercise of if you had not had a mental mm-hmm. illness, then it would have been this. And he said, you know, I would have given you 8 years for this person and 5 years for this, you know, however long. But it was a fascinating, you know, almost like thought exercise, but it's a great question at the end of it. The determinative factor, I think, regardless of law, policy-wise, should be danger to the public. Yeah. And a situation like this would show you that this, like, what is the assessment? Where did the assessment fail in a person who had previously shown a predilection toward the exact same violence? And why were they unsupervised and let out? It reminds me of the guy on the Greyhound bus in Canada who had been let out, if I'm not mistaken, on like work release. Like he would go out and then he boarded that Greyhound bus and like decapitated some folks. Yeah, it was horrific violence. Yes. But it's sort of that difficult line of when someone is, you know, institutionalized because of violence, but the underlying motivation for their violence was mental illness, then we got to treat the mental illness, certainly. And you want to be mindful of someone's freedom. Absolutely. But I think the state of Texas actually has one of the most stringent, not guilty by reason of insanity laws in the U.S. And I quite frankly like the dangerousness aspect because mm-hmm. I'm like, leave it up to the doctors, you know? So I don't know what happened here. And especially, it sounds like he's been committed to stand trial for this case, but there's some analyses of his mental health going back and forth. This is the last thing I could find.
No, the unsupervision is what sticks out to me because, mm-hmm. I mean, sure, even if you're institutionalized, get outside, get exercise, fresh air. I would think an orderly or a doctor would be monitoring and walking with you to make sure you didn't just run off and do something like this.
Yeah, it's one thing to say this person needs, you know, for their treatment to be have access to the outside, but for the safety of these folks that were attacked by a frying pan and stabbed and
where did he get a frying pan?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Luckily,
and a knife.
The facility reported him missing, I guess, 15 minutes after they realized they didn't have eyes on him. But now the region's chief psychiatrist has launched a formal review, from what I can tell, that it seems like the authorities view this as like a serious failure in mental health supervision, which I would agree
with. That's good.
Yeah. So I think they're doing an evaluation of him, an evaluation of the system. And then from what I can tell, we'll
maybe the facility
prosecute
too.
Him. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is so very terrifying. And take care of yourself, Sam. Seeing stuff like that is really traumatizing. And a lot of times we brush it off because, you know, we're a third party or an outsider, but seeing someone try to be resuscitated or, you know, there's blood and other things, it's very traumatic. So take care of yourself. And same goes for your coworkers too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Sinisterhood will be right back.
This episode of Sinisterhood is brought to you by Graza. The holidays are basically here, and if you're still hunting for the perfect gift, olive oil might not be the first thing you think of, but it totally should be. Graza is our go-to for gifting because, honestly, who doesn't love insanely fresh olive oil? Their oils are never blended, always pressed from the freshest olives of the season, and you can even check the harvest date right on the bottle. It's thoughtful, delicious, and way better than another pair of socks.
They've made it super easy with ready-to-gift sets like the Duo gift set, which comes with their Sizzle cooking oil and Drizzle finishing oil. And now you can even choose between their signature squeeze bottle or glass. And their new dinner party pack, it's next level. You get a limited edition bottle of wine, two kinds of olive oil, a corkscrew, and EVOO potato chips. It's basically a dinner party in a box. All you need is some pasta and you're set.
Oh.
Dude, well, Ross has got you, dog.
I have to add that to my Christmas list. That's insane. Honestly, olive oil, if you're going to like a holiday party or and you want to take a hostess gift,
mm-hmm.
a nice olive oil is so classy and clutch. Like, everyone will use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It won't just sit in a counter. Everyone will use it. And then they're like, man, I would have never bought this for myself, but now I'm introduced to something I love.
Yeah. Plus this dinner party pack, you can just wrap that up and be, you look very, to me, I'm like, I want to go make a basket. Why would I do that when this is a pre-made basket? And it's so classy. And I literally eat Graza every morning for breakfast. Like, this stuff is so good. So it's something
that- I eat Graza for breakfast.
I'm like, fucking squeezing that shit. But it's one of those where you know when you give it, you're not like, I hope this doesn't suck. Like when you just pick a random olive oil off the shelf and you're like, here. So get them what they want, what they're going to eat every day.
Absolutely. You'll get 10% off your first order on their site, but we personally recommend their new dinner party pack or their Duo gift set, now available in glass.
So head to graza.co/creepy and use creepy to get 10% off your order and get cooking this holiday season with some fresh, delicious olive oil.
Well, this next one's from Savannah and is called My Own Poisoning Story. I'm going to try and make this quick because I'm at work typing this, but I do want to say I love the show and y'all crack me up. So I'm a travel surgical technologist. If you don't know what a surgical tech is, many don't, we scrub in and set up the operating room, and then during the procedure, we're scrubbed in with the surgeon, helping them with whatever they need and passing instruments. I truly love what I do, as it can be a very fulfilling experience to be a part of the team that is saving people. But it's not always happiness. This experience was a few years ago, and I'll be excluding some details due to confidentiality. I was on an assignment working 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. This hospital was close to home, but just far enough to be considered travel, 50 miles. One day, the charge nurse calls me to come to the desk. I knew she was going to send me somewhere, but I wasn't sure where. When I got to the desk, she said, "We have an organ donation going later today. I want you to do it since you've done a few of them." It is true. I have done more organ donations than I would have liked to have done in my life. It's a very bittersweet procedure because on one hand, you're saving someone else's life, but at the same time, someone is dying and they will be dead by the end of your procedure. It can be hard to cope with as a healthcare professional sometimes. So I asked the details about the patient as I always do. The story goes, 21-year-old who came to the ER claiming she was being held against her will, force-fed Tylenol, and beaten. Her mother showed up and said she had a history of mental health issues and had also tried to end her life before by overdosing on Tylenol, which landed her on the liver transplant list. Unfortunately, the young lady went into cardiac arrest, and they were able to only keep her alive on the machines. So her mother made the decision to, quote, pull the plug. Let's fast forward to time for the procedure. Usually, for organ donations, the family gets to write little notes about the patient that is read out loud to us in the OR prior to incision. I always cry during these. But this young lady had none. No notes were written about her. I thought that was kind of odd. So we start the procedure as planned. Her heart is harvested for research, and then we move on to the kidneys. Our kidney doctor comes in and asks, "What's her story?" So the nurse fills him in. He comes to the field, takes one look at her kidneys, and says, "Put the heart back and call the coroner. This young lady did not overdose." He proceeds to show me the bruising on her kidneys. Her kidneys were almost black. Now, it is important to mention that this young lady was African-American. I only include this because, as I was told, that is why the skin bruises weren't as easily seen. The coroner instructs us to take photos of any bruises we see. So the nurse, the procurement team leader, and I start scanning her body. Slowly, bruises start to show. One bruise in particular, a perfect handprint on the inside of her thigh. I wept, the nurse wept, the procurement team lead wept. This case has stuck with me ever since. I searched and searched for articles with her name to see if she received justice, but unfortunately, that was the last day I heard anything about it. I do know the team taking care of her in the ER and ICU said the mom gave them, quote, weird vibes and wasn't too concerned about her daughter. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I look forward to writing in with more interesting tales from the OR soon.
Oh, Savannah, first of all, thank you for doing the job you do, especially the organ donation. That's got to be such a tough, emotionally taxing experience, but so vital.
Thank you for like that reminder of it's bittersweet. Mm-hmm. You are like saving someone's life, but somebody else's life is ending. I mean, it's bittersweet for everyone. And I never knew that like notes were written to be read in the OR. I think that's beautiful and sad that this young girl didn't get that. Perhaps a bit telling too, combined with the bruises, signs of abuse, and her mom's declaration that she kind of did this to herself and didn't seem to be concerned about her. Mm-hmm. And the young woman was saying, I am being held against my will and force-fed Tylenol and beaten. And it seems like that's probably what was going on.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you're in Savannah's shoes, you know, by the time this patient gets to you, there's, you know, it literally is the, you know, it's too late. So it's so heartbreaking. And much like we said for Sam as well, like, you know, take care of your heart. Being around this stuff definitely it takes a brave soul and a strong soul. So thank you for being that. But also we all need breaks and rests and to take care, because that is a gut punch when you want to help people, you wish you could help them. And then by the time you either hear about their story or cross paths with them, it's too late for you to do anything. And I think we feel like, I wish I could just do anything, but you being there with her and I think just honoring her by sharing her story with us now, hopefully, you know, maybe intake people or, you know, somebody else that might hear this might go, you know, we got to take complaints like that seriously.
Yeah.
And especially if she's saying that's the one that's doing it and the one that's being pointed at says she's crazy. No, don't listen to her. Yeah. Just scan for bruises, you know, just be sure.
I hope that once all of these findings came about that something happened to maybe get her some justice. I know you said, Savannah, that you don't know of any updates, but you know, I mean, even post-mortem charges can be brought against somebody. So perhaps something like that happened and this young lady got some justice in the end.
At least they called the coroner and someone noticed and said something. Yeah. So there's that. But yeah.
Well, thank you for sending that in. And again, thank you for the very important and difficult work you do.
Sinister Hood will be right back. It's that time of year where I'm like, do I get matching pajamas for Paris and me and Buffy and the Goose and take Christmas card photos like they're my children? And I might do that because I did it during the pandemic. So I didn't anything else to do, but they are much like our listener sent in her picture of her doggy and her in matching PJs.
Yes.
Like they're my babies and I just want the best for them.
You got to take care of them. And when you want the absolute best for your dog, you got to switch to Ollie. Ollie offers fresh protein packed meals made with real human grade ingredients, which is a win for your dog's health. And they offer 5 tasty recipes. They're all slow cooked too for top nutrition, which is a win for your dog's happiness.
Ollie makes mealtime easy and exciting for you and your dog. Their food is human grade, vet formulated, and seriously tasty. Even picky pups get excited. Each meal is tailored to your dog's needs and comes in perfectly portioned, no mess packs. Plus, they include a handy scoop and fridge puptainer to keep things fresh. The Ollie app even offers real-time health support and uses data from other dogs to keep improving. It's smart and clean and made to actually make your life easier, makes your dogs more energetic, running around. They're happy because they ate something good. If the grid goes down, you know it's human grade. You can eat it if things go bad.
I'm putting a bag of the peanut butter treats in Kate's stocking for sure,
because
she loves those things.
Eat the whole thing.
The whole thing. Everything that we have had from Ollie is delicious. I'm going to say that on my pet's behalf. I personally have not tasted it. However, I feel like I could and wouldn't be disappointed.
Absolutely. Your dog's well-being starts with their food, and that's why Ollie delivers fresh, human-grade food that your dog will love. Head to ollie.com/creepy, tell them all about your dog, and use code CREEPY to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box, so if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's OLLIE.com/creepy and enter code CREEPY to get 60% off your first box. This next one is from Shelby and is called My Cousin is a Florida Man. Hi, ladies. I've been wanting to write this story in for a while, but sitting at this coffee shop, fueled by a fresh latte and apple strudel, I am finally bribing myself to do so. I'm a longtime listener, and you may remember me from my Lady with No Face Freaky Friday submission a few years back. You gals are my favorite parasocial besties and the ones who got me hooked to podcasts in the first place. I don't have enough time nor enough space to express how much I love y'all. Thank you so very much, Shelby. Shelby writes, anyway, enough with the intro, and as Christy says, let's get into it. My whole family on my mom's side is located in Kentucky, where I was born and raised. Like many others in the South, our family is relatively large, with almost more cousins than you can count. We're a pretty close group, with the exception of one aunt and her respective husband and kids, for reasons that are way too complicated to get into here. In short, they're not the best people and definitely don't have the best intentions nor the same loving nature as the rest of us. Most of us finally completely severed ties with this part of the family when my papa died in 2018. A little before his passing, said aunt, her husband, and one of her adult sons moved to Florida upon inheriting a hefty sum of money from her in-laws. They now live in a nice beachfront house in a wealthy island community with my cousin, let's call him Chad, residing in their basement. A little while back, I was visiting with my grandma at her house. Out of the blue, she asked me if I'd heard what Chad had gotten up to recently. She had a glimmer in her eye paired with a coy smile, which I knew meant gossip was on the way. My grandmother stirs the shit like it's her job and loves bridging the gap between the estranged sides of the family in this way. She's the only one that talks to my aunt's crew and has an odd fascination with updating both groups with the comings and goings of the other in hopes of getting some sort of reaction. Usually, the best tactic is disinterest. However, she will tell you anyway. I told her I hadn't heard and that I don't really keep up with them. She said, well, he called me from a Florida jail yesterday. Okay, Grandma, you know how to get me to bite. I expressed my shock and asked her what happened and also why the heck he was calling her all the way in Kentucky when both his parents reside in Florida. She said she honestly didn't know why he called her instead of one of them, and then proceeded to tell me the full, absurd story. For some more context, Chad is about 10 years older than me, give or take. He is an interesting character, to put it nicely. He has a poli-sci degree and a Spanish minor. Originally, he wanted to go into politics of some sort, most likely because he inherited the shit-stirring gene from our grandmother and wanted to utilize it on an elevated platform. However, since obtaining them, he's not really put either of those degrees to use. Well, aside from his stint peddling essential oils on Facebook in both English and Spanish for some reason. My grandma told me that upon moving to the Sunshine State and losing interest in his first Floridian career of real estate, Chad took to becoming some sort of concierge to the snowbirds. He prepares their houses for the winter migration south, cleaning, stocking the fridges, shuttling them to and from the airport, etc. Apparently, to thank him for his help, one of the couples gifted him a really nice bottle of alcohol. My grandmother claims he had only one drink and mixed it inadvertently with Benadryl because he wasn't feeling well that day. Personally, I think he just got plain old drunk. Regardless of how he got to be in an altered state of mind, he was nonetheless. Chad got into his car and attempted to venture back to his parents' beachfront basement. But after plying himself with nice liquor and potentially some Benadryl to chase it down, he was naturally not able to drive safely. He was swerving and veering around, which led to the police turning on their sirens in an attempt to pull him over. However, instead of pulling over, Chad did the opposite. Yes, he embarked on a police chase, Chad floored it and tried his darndest to get away from the police, but drunk as he was, ended up crashing his car headfirst into a tree. Unfortunately, or fortunately for the story's sake, the chase did not end there. Unharmed from the crash, Chad then stole a bicycle from someone nearby. He continued chase on bicycle, which went about how you would expect for someone that inebriated. The police apprehended him quickly after that, handcuffed him, and took him in. At the jail, the police tried to get basic information out of him. His name, who can they call to let him know where he was, etc. Chad responded, "No hablo inglés," followed by a plethora of other sentences in Spanish to emphasize his statement. Chad, very much just a white dude from Kentucky, only replied in Spanish the entire night. No one in the station on the little island spoke Spanish, and the nearest translator was a bit inland and wasn't able to come right away, as it was pretty late by that point. The officers called and requested the translator come first thing in the morning and let Chad sleep off whatever he had consumed in a jail cell for the rest of the evening. When they returned with the translator the next morning, a confused and hungover Chad asked them what was going on and if he could have his phone call. The exasperated officer, who had gone to great lengths to acquire a translator from out of town so early in the morning, just replied, "Nice to know you speak English after all." My cousin used his phone to call my grandma in Kentucky and relayed the story to her, as it was told to him by the officers, since he could not recall the events himself. My grandma then had to inform my aunt and uncle so they could go bail him out of jail. Girls, when I tell you that I could never have predicted the story that came out of my grandmother's mouth that day, it would be the understatement of the century. I have since scoured the internet and Florida arrest reports to try and find any sort of record of this insane story, but have come out empty-handed every time. I wish, oh how I wish, that there was some sort of physical proof of this wild tale to share with you. My grandma may gossip as often as she breathes, but I am sure this is the God's honest truth, because there is no way she, an 87-year-old woman who watches the Shopping Channel all day, could come up with something this ridiculous. Just as sure as I am that my cousin would absolutely do something like this. And that, my friends, is the tale of the time my cousin became a tried and true Florida man. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I know the world can be an abysmal place right now, filled with stories that leave us with such hopelessness, but I hope this story can at least make you chuckle, if only for a moment. I heard the pet tax is suggested, so I have attached a picture of my son, Mr. Morton, as a banana last Halloween, as well as a picture of our annual matching Christmas jammies from last year. He keeps me sane in these not-so-sane times, because how can the world be so bad if this little guy exists? Stay spooky. Okay, bye.
Look at Mr. Morton and his banana costume.
Mr. Morton, the banana and your little matching jammies. He has a little bow on his head like he's just the best little Christmas present ever, which he is.
Man, the banana outfit sort of makes him look like a little wizard, and I love it. And I want to ask him to tell my future, please. But man, your cousin may not have been born in Florida, but he was born to be in Florida.
Yeah. Sounds like it. You know what? Sometimes our feet take us where we belong, you know? He ended up being in the place.
He was Florida. Meant to be. Truly one hell
this
of a drum.
This sounded so familiar, this story, that I went back through all of our stories and searched the quote, Florida man. We have like 7 stories that involve that. And I'm like, it is a thing. It is a thing, y'all. Something's going on there.
It juices you up. It does something to you for sure. Yeah.
Sunshine.
Man, he not only, he did it all where he scammed the jail by pretending not to speak English. He got into a police chase to the point of a crash. Luckily, no one was hurt. And then he rode off on a bicycle.
That he stole from somebody. Yeah. Yes, dude. He really just said, if I'm going to have a night of this, I might as well make it count. Leave nothing on the table.
Absolutely incredible. Man, I know your grandma was just like, what now? And then you did what? Okay.
But I dying to tell everyone. Like, she's like, I need to get out the phone. I got some calls to make. After I'm going to call your parents, but then I got some other calls to make.
Yeah, and I
got to
call Shelby. Oh, she's going to die when she hears this. Well, Shelby, thank you for that one. And thank you for your Lady with No Face. That was from Freaky Friday 26. So it was an OG one. And also, one that I think about. Y'all just trying
I
to
remember it immediately just trying when you to mentioned
drive it. Home from yeah. Gaddy Land Pizza, and this bitch doesn't have a face. It's crazy, but it does sound like a cryptid to me. So much like a Florida man's a cryptid.
Honestly, I think they might be. It's a whole group of them. And Chad, first of all, I know that's not your name, but it's the perfect name that Shelby gave you. I hope that you're living your best life in that beachfront basement.
Yeah, dude. Chad, get it together, man. You want to don't be a Florida man. Be a Florida gentleman. Like, you'll get there.
Be a Florida beachfront property basement guy.
Yeah, come on. You know,
I feel like that's like a low-key chill person, probably. Yeah,
live up to the promise of your basement home.
Yeah.
But thank you. If you do any more shenanigans, I hope Grandma tells Shelby and Shelby tells us.
Very much.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences.
Man, we got a Helix mattress in every bedroom in this house.
If somebody's sleeping, I love it. It's your house, they're sleeping on a Helix. And
if
that's
you
what
come
I respect.
Over, you're sleeping on a Helix. And the kids' Helixes are great. I sleep on those almost as much as my own Helix. Mm-hmm. Our Helix is great. That one is even tailored to our sleep preferences because you get to take the fun quiz on the Helix website and it tells you exactly which type of mattress you should get.
I only have one mattress in my house, but 100% of the mattresses in my house are Helix mattresses. And if I ever were to get another one, it's going to stay that way because I have not slept better in my life than the years that I've had this Helix mattress. And I didn't know how to get one. I was like, I'm going to pick it wrong. But guess what? You don't have to feel overwhelmed for buying a mattress. By taking the Helix sleep quiz, it's so easy. It matched me with the mattress based on how I sleep. And I actually cannot wait to go to bed every day. And it's difficult to get awake. I'm going to say that, but I've got such a good night's sleep that I can get up and get going. But it's so cozy that I don't want to, you know what I mean? But they deliver it. It's a 120 night free trial. So you have a total peace of mind. It won tons of awards so far. And we know why. It's because it's amazing. And it's one of the best parts about my house, certainly.
Yeah. It's one of the best upgrades I've made for sure. Mm-hmm. Go to helixsleep.com/creepy through December 9th for their Cyber Monday Best of Web sale and get 27% off site wide.
That's helixsleep.com/creepy for 27% off site wide. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. helixsleep.com/creepy. Well, this next one is from Wells, and the subject line is Savannah Wedding Ghosts. Hello, ladies, longtime listener, first time story submitter. Back in December of 2014, my then man friend, my now sweet husband, but I was in my 40s at the time, and it just felt weird to say boyfriend at that age. Well, he and I took my 5 children to Savannah. One of the things I like to do when traveling to a new place is to read books about the unique, little-known, or spooky facts which might not be particularly known. On the drive up to Savannah from Central Florida, I read some excerpts from the books I'd gathered to the kids, and we talked about which places we planned to visit. The first night we arrived, we decided to walk with the kids to a restaurant brewery, now sadly closed, called Moon River Brewing. This restaurant was located in one of the most haunted buildings in Savannah, located at 21 West Bay Street. Originally, the City Hotel, built in 1821. The second floor is notoriously spooky, with so many terrifying happenings that renovations were never completed due to construction workers repeatedly quitting and refusing to return. As we stood outside across the street from this building, we noticed that the lights were on the second floor. Clear as day, although it was dark outside, all 7 of us, my children at this time were ages 12, 11, 7, 5, and 4. We all saw the distinct outline of a man wearing a bowler hat and a female with an updo hairstyle holding a tray, waitress style. I thought this was strange, but said out loud, "Oh, I wonder if they're having a party up there." Not such a silly idea, as the building's basement is also extremely haunted, but is regularly rented out for wedding receptions and parties. We crossed the street and spoke with the hostess. I asked if they were having a party upstairs. She looked at me with a strange, knowing smile. "No, I think the ghosts might be messing with you." I told her that all 7 of us had clearly just seen a man wearing a bowler hat and a woman carrying a tray just 2 minutes before. She insisted that no party was going on and offered to let us see for ourselves. Naturally, we took her up on this and followed her up the creaky wooden stairs, only to find a completely empty, totally dark second floor room. It was the exact room we had seen from the street, but no lights. No party, no man with a bowler hat, no lady with fancy hair and a serving tray. just bare walls torn down to the studs and sawdust on the floor. From inside the room, I could see through the window down to the spot on the street where we had been standing only minutes ago. Obviously, we were dumbfounded. There was no way that this was some sort of collective delusion. We all know what we saw, and the kids still talk about it to this day. Recently, in fact, my oldest child was discussing it with my husband and I. Something I hadn't known at the time, which my son had discovered in the intervening years, was that the man most notoriously associated with the building's past was known for wearing a bowler hat. I don't get chills often, but hearing this made my stomach flip. Several years later, my man friend and I decided to elope and made reservations at the Kehoe House, one of Savannah's historic homes and frequently a stop on popular city ghost tours. Now, I do like all things weird, spooky, and woo, but I'm not the type to seek them out. I don't go ghost hunting or poking around in creepy places, and I certainly would never elect to knowingly stay in a haunted house. However, the hauntings which people claim to have experienced at the Kehoe House all involved seeing a motherly figure or hearing the sounds of children playing in the hall, despite the fact that no children were staying in the house at the time. I figured pediatric ghosts don't sound too scary, so we booked several nights there in October of 2016. They offered a nice wedding package that included a small ceremony in the courtyard with a simple reception in the main parlor. Four of our close friends decided to join us in Savannah, even though Hurricane Matthew was, at that very moment, barreling toward the city. The pending storm forced us to move the time of the ceremony up, as the city was under mandatory evacuations, and our vows in the garden were followed by cake and champagne inside. I was wearing a simple slip-style satin dress with a low back which dipped near the bottom of my ribcage. As I stood in the parlor preparing to cut the cake, I distinctly felt a small, soft hand run itself across my back, moving from right to left. Startled, I immediately asked one of my friends if she had touched me. My husband and our friends were all standing behind me and had seen me physically jump. My friend Kay was the closest person to me and was approximately 5 feet away. She insisted she had not touched me. I didn't feel frightened. In fact, I felt strangely comforted. It felt as if a small child had touched my back and reminded me of one of my own children, touching my clothes and saying, "You look pretty, Mama." The Kehoes were a large Irish family with many children. I really believe one of them was there that day. It sounds weird to say, but it made me so happy. Later that night, as the city grew increasingly empty, we made plans to head home early the next day. We fell asleep in the large four-poster wooden bed in the bridal suite, but I was shortly awoken by something. It wasn't a sound or a movement or anything I saw. It was just an intense, overwhelming awareness of a presence in front of one of the building's large floor-to-ceiling windows. It was maternal, and it was not happy with me. I felt, deep inside, that this was the presence of another mother, Mrs. Kehoe, telling me that I needed to leave, that I needed to get out of Savannah as soon as possible and get back to my children. I did not sleep a single wink. I shrunk away from the window and closer to my husband, who was blissfully unaware. The presence, the intensity of this feeling, never wavered. As soon as I saw a sliver of sunlight, I woke him up immediately and told him, "We have to leave now." I'm a dedicated sleeper-inner, and seeing me wide awake before 10 a.m. was very concerning to him. So he didn't argue when we packed up and left. So quickly, in fact, that we forgot all of our shoes, except the ones we were wearing. On the ride home, I told him about my night, about the presence and her general unhappiness with me. We made it safely back to our home in Florida, but have never forgotten the ghost who shared our wedding day with us. Thanks for taking the time to read about my Savannah shenanigans. Big shout out to my best friend, Jamie, one lung, because she only has one lung, duh, who introduced me to the show. Keep it creepy. Jamie, one lung is such a good nickname. Fuck. That's some hateful shit my friends would give me.
Oh, Jamie, I hope that when you laugh about that, it doesn't hurt since you only have one lung.
You'd be like, oh, shit, hang on. It's like when I laugh too hard, my asthma.
Y'all can't give somebody with one lung a funny nickname because then it's like torture when they laugh.
Goddamn. Well,
I guess. I don't know. I don't know if having one lung affects that. I imagine it affects all sorts of stuff, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, thank you for sharing the show with your dear friend who now, Wells, has now shared with us. I want to go to Savannah, man. This sounds like a spooky place. a beautiful place.
Yeah, that's on my list for sure. I've always had a fascination with that place. Feel like, was that the location in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
I believe it is, yeah.
Ever since that movie, I've been like, I gotta get there. And that was a long time ago, so I've had some time. But
yeah,
now we have all the more reason to go, because it sounds like there's just hauntings everywhere you look.
Strange things are afoot in Savannah. Also, I like that when you're like, there's a guy upstairs with a bowler hat, and the woman at the front's like, all right, it's the bowler hat guy.
Come on up. You know what? It reminds me of Kells Seattle when we were like talking about it. And then the owner of Kells invited us to go upstairs and check everything out.
Hell yeah.
But people that own bars like that, that have like a haunting history and are into it and like get excited to tell people about it, which he was too, is super fun. But if my entire family of 5 kids, 2 adults saw the same thing, and then we were told no, I think I might have a mental breakdown right there on the spot.
I'm losing it. For me, if I see a man in a bowler hat, I get triggered because I used to date a guy.
Yeah, you would immediately flee. Your fight or flight would kick in real quick.
There's a Heather-shaped hole in the door for sure. But yeah, the idea that you as a family saw it, not just like, well, our littlest pointed up and was like, mommy, I see something, is that you guys are all like, oh, well, like a cocktail party is going on. And then you get up there and you're like, well, what fucking timeline are we all in? And what timeline are they all in? And it's all connected.
Oh, man. Well, brave waitress to be like, yeah, that's just going on upstairs while I'm down here serving everybody drinks.
But you know how it be.
Yeah, in Savannah, it's like, maybe it's the norm is you're haunted. And yeah, it's like out of the unusual if you don't have a ghost in your place.
They're like, oh, you work at like a non-haunted Panera?
Okay.
It's like, well, it ours.
Panera, nice pull.
I was trying to think somewhere that wouldn't be like old-timey, like this used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you don't think Panera was the first to invent the bread bowl, like back in the Great Depression?
The haunted bread bowl. Well, goddamn. Well, we got to get out to Savannah.
Bread bowls are so good, though, for real.
Right.
I explained bread bowls the other day to Ella. And I was, or maybe it was Simon. He was like, so the soup's just in it. I was like, yeah. And then you get to eat the soup with it after it soaks into the bread.
Ooh, sourdough bread bowl. Come on. Take me away. Goddamn. Well, thank you for making me want a bread bowl now, Wells. We appreciate you.
Yes. shout out to One Lung.
What up, Jamie One Lung?
Keep on keeping on. We love you.
Hell yeah. We love you both. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Well, the holidays are here, and for a lot of people, that's a stressful time. And if you're like me, when you're stressed, you tend to tense up, which means your jaw also tenses up. And you often sleep, and you don't even know that your jaw is all tensed up while you're sleeping. And then you wake up with a headache, and your mouth is sore, and yada, yada, yada. And that's why you got to get Remy, because it's going to take care of all... I don't know that it'll take care of your family problems you might have this holiday season, but it will take care of the symptoms that you experience in your jaw from stressful family.
Yeah, you can't stop the cause, but maybe the result. If you're part of the 30% of Americans who grind their teeth, then your smile needs protection. And there's no better solution than Remy's Custom Fit Night Guard. Both dentists and teeth grinders recommend Remy because a Custom Fit Night Guard is the best way to protect your teeth. And Remy is 80% less than the dentist. And way easier to do.
Here's how it works. First, here's how it worked for us. We received our impression kits. They came straight to the door. Mm-hmm. They give you step-by-step instructions, Remy does, to get your perfect impression. They couldn't have been easier to follow. Then you just send it off and they ship you back your custom fit night guard. It's made in Las Vegas. You know, great stuff comes from there.
Hell yeah.
And then you get your night guard back. And you start protecting your teeth.
It couldn't have been easier. It comes right out of the package. I got some foam. They've also sent us the night guard foam that helps clean it as well as whiten your teeth. So I like that I'm already doing that. Now I can be even more productive in
the
night.
It's doubling up. You're already wearing the night guard. Now you're like, and I'm whitening my teeth and cleaning this all at the same time.
And for the holiday season, Rimi is gifting their customers with their 2-in-1 foam that both cleans your night guard and whitens your teeth for free when you order a night guard between now and December 24th.
Go to shoprimi.com/sinister and use code sinister to get up to 55% off your new night guard plus a free foam gift. That's shoprimi.com/sinister for 55% off a night guard plus free gift using code sinister. Thank you, Rimi, for sponsoring this episode. Well, this next one is from Sean, and the subject line is, I also saw a UAP in Portland on the 15th of November.
Uh-oh.
We got corroboration. Hell yeah. All right, Sean writes, hey there, Sinisters. Listening to last week's Freaky Friday and hearing Maria's story of her UAP experience in Portland, I knew I had to report what I saw as well. That night, November 15th, I was in Hillsboro, Oregon. To those of you outside our little weird area of the country, it's about 20 minutes outside of Portland. After a night of karaoke with friends, I was driving back home around 10 p.m. and heading north on I-5, nearing the city center of Portland, when I saw what I can only describe as a giant silver gold jellyfish cruising through the sky. Now, I'm a bit of a realist, and I like to rule out the usual UAP subjects. This was not a drone. We do have police drones out here that I've seen before. They look like a black triangle with lights at night. But this literally looked like the creature from the movie Nope, just listlessly floating at the speed of an airliner heading southwest across the sky. As I watched it, it sort of faded away like Maria described with her encounter, as if flying into fog or a cloud. But the sky was pretty clear. The other odd thing that happened was that I somehow ended up in the city off the freeway. I don't remember getting off the freeway, and the weirder thing was that I wasn't in the exit lane while I was driving, so it wasn't like I just followed traffic off into the city. There wasn't a large period of time missing like in classic encounters like Betty and Barney Hill. It was almost like I just popped up on a downtown side street just off the freeway. After that, I found my way back to the freeway and kept trying to think what it could have been that I saw all the way back home. This isn't the first UAP I've seen here. A few months ago, while going to work early in the morning around 5 a.m., I thought I saw the moon cresting over the city skyline. As I drove into the industrial area where I work, the moon remained in the same part of the sky as the moon is wont to do early in the morning. But as I sat at a red light, I looked and noticed the bright white light in the sky was not the moon. It was circular, but was tilting and became narrow looking, like a pill shape, as I watched this thing roll in the sky. Then it suddenly took off, looking like the Starship Enterprise, stretching then rapidly disappearing to the western sky toward the ocean. Again, this sighting stumped me, and I have no idea what either could rationally be. Anyway, thank you both and all the other listeners for the interesting stories, and your humor make my work days go by just a little quicker. I didn't take any pictures as both of these happened while I was driving, but here's a picture of my cat Hero to do with as you will. Her pronouns are she, her.
Baby Hero.
Hero, look at you, you beautiful angel. Look at
the paws.
When
crossed.
Animals pose with their paws and legs crossed, like they know they're being photoed, it's one of my favorite things.
Like, take my picture.
Yeah,
Buffy will
like,
do that a lot.
I know
on the
I
couch.
Look great. And on the buffalo plaid blanket,
perfect.
It's like a, yes, it looks like a greeting card.
A little Christmas card. Well, Maria,
yes.
You have been vindicated. Sean saw something as
yes.
Well. This is crazy. I want to know what this is.
I mean, I always want to go to Portland and the Pacific Northwest. I feel like this
Let's just do it.
It's time. Something's going on up there and we got to get up there.
Let's investigate.
I love that the stories are being corroborated. And also, I feel like we do not live in an area that is inviting or conducive for UAPs because mm-hmm. we can't fucking see the sky like you can up there in where it's non-polluted. It's just stars and beautiful. Yeah. So we got to get up there and see these things because, Sean, you had two encounters. Maria's had one. It looks
it
like the
time.
Jellyfish from Nope. There's, I mean, I can't say, I don't think everyone is having some kind of visual, you know, fucking crazy thing happen with them. There's
no,
something
right.
up there.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're at home and it's a gas leak or something. You know, you're in your right. car and it's separate days and separate incidents. I think we go, we get a cabin. We got to lay out in the night sky and just turn all the lights off in the cabin and just look up at the sky and just like call it to us.
In the cabin? I think we go outside.
Like I said, go lay out on like the deck. Like get a cabin with the deck and just lay out on the deck and then just look up at the sky and call it to us. Because you're right here. We're both, you and I both are on flight paths to into like DFW, Love Field. Mm-hmm. Like there's too many commercial airplanes going on. So they're going to see like the UAPs don't want to be seen. So,
or maybe they could mix in with them, but I haven't seen them. No. And the amount of airplanes that you and I see sitting outside in my backyard. I mean, we're on a direct flight path. It's crazy. Yeah. So I don't even know if I would know if it was a UAP.
Good point.
I got to get up there. And I think you have the perfect idea. We got to do this.
I think this is a plan. This is going to be our, we need to do a retreat. A
Christmas retreat.
A Christmas retreat.
Doing a Sinister Hood Christmas retreat.
Yeah. So we can.
And we're going up there. Writer's retreat / UAP detection retreat.
Hunting retreat. Hey, you know what? I think it's we can write it off because this it's research. Truly. It's boots on the ground.
And when I tell my in-laws, I'm going camping or I'm going hunting this weekend, they're going to be like, oh, really? We're going hunting. I'm like, what are y'all hunting? Deer. Oh, I'm hunting something else.
You're like, I'm hunting not deer.
Not deer and not even not deer.
Deer. No.
Really, they're not even not
they're
deer.
Going to I want something from the sky.
Yes. Please.
Well, you've all inspired us. Thank you very much, Sean. And anybody listening in the Portland area, if you've seen jellyfish in the sky, please send a message in. You're not alone. And we believe you. Like, we are ready to believe you, like Ghostbusters said.
Why did Jordan Peele know what that looks like?
Also, there's a jellyfish video that was released by the government. So maybe it's the same technology. Even if it's not an alien technology, perhaps it's some sort of like mystery, you know, military shit. I still want to see that too.
So, maybe it's just, what if it's like a space anomaly?
Dude,
I've never thought about that.
Three Eye Atlas, it's fucking flying, man. It's gonna pass us.
What if these things that are UAPs are like something in space? Do I sound deranged right
That's
now?
Crazy. I was gonna say, I think like they can fly down, like.
True. Yeah.
If they're, that's what the whole idea of a UAP was. I thought is that they have bases in the ocean and
they
then
do.
They shoot out and they go.
I'm just saying, what if some sightings are something as exciting as we know about planets and like shooting stars and asteroids and shit. But did you know that there's also floating giant jellyfish in space?
Now, we didn't know how to break it to you guys because we thought you might freak out. So we've just been dropping them here or there. And we figured the good people of Portland are open-minded. So we started up there. We didn't start in Dallas. We just started in Texas.
Nah.
They'd start shooting them out
they
of the sky.
Yeah, they can't handle it there.
Meanwhile, in Portland, they're kind of welcoming them with open arms. So we got to go up there and let them know that we're safe. And then they can follow us to Texas.
And what if that's what jellyfish in the ocean are?
Exactly. But they'll sting
they just
you.
Haven't
you can't
fallen
touch them.
Yet.
You can't touch them. Yeah.
No,
they
you
get
can't.
Out of
You're
the
not
water.
Supposed to.
That's and then when they're done, they go back in the water and they can swim around.
There you go. Well, God I think damn. We solved it. So
thanks, Sean.
We're still going up the Portland though for our retreat.
We got to see it ourselves. It's like it's one thing to hear about it, but I don't want to read a book about basketball. I want to go play. I want to shoot some hoops. Let's do this. Well, thank you, Sean, for the inspo.
Yes, thank you.
When we get abducted, we'll be like, send a note to our homie Sean and Maria for getting us up here.
We're going to have to get on Signal so we can send things from space.
We will. I had an app idea today on my run, and I literally got on my watch and was like, app idea. Instead of Signal, what if we had an app on our phone? This is unrelated, but I want to just put it out there if anybody's an app developer. And the interface looks exactly like AOL Instant Messenger from like 2002. And unlike I don't know, TikTok, Instagram, Meta, Facebook, everybody, it doesn't read your messages and like harvest your information. It's just merely texting your friends back and forth. And you can set an away message and then it's on your phone. And then you can really just message people and there's not the prying eyes of big technology. If you can develop apps, hit me up. We gotta make $1 million.
I think that app has probably been developed and Big Brother came in and said, not today, bitch.
That's why
you
we got to get a pure.
Get
I'm going to get a pure. I need a fresh start. So I need people that know how to hack. But I want the interface to look gray, boxy, mechanical, like AOL Instant Messenger. And I would like to be able to set an away message.
What's your handle?
Oh my God, Howie's, well, if it's Beck then, Howie's
you gotta
princess.
You got to use your old handle.
Yeah, they're like, bad news, it's going to have to be Howie's princess. No, it became in high school and maybe like middle school, high school, it started being Mac Attack because Heather.
Oh, Heather okay.
You so it's always Mac
still
Attack.
Use that. Mine yeah. was always just my initials and my birthday, nothing exciting. So I'm going to come up with something more exciting yeah, for we'll this, get it, we'll this get it. Round.
Well, if you're an app developer, call me. Well, thank you very much, Sean, for that one. Sinister Hood will be right back. Well, this time of year, everybody's got this sale, that sale, and you're like, well, if I buy this, I'm going to save money, but is it a piece of garbage that I'm buying? You want something that's going to actually be worth the deal and that's going to last in your life and maybe even get better with time. And guess what? Because I have a best friend who has an extremely high quality metrics in her life, I'm just like, what's WWCWD, baby? What would Christy Wallace do? And before Boll & Branch was even a sponsor, she was like, girl, you need to get Boll & Branch sheets.
Oh, man. I've been a Boll & Branch fan for a long time. And everything that I have from there, it really does get better with time. You wash it and it gets softer. Our entire bed is decked mm-hmm. out Boll & Branch head to toe, and I sleep great all the time. Boll & Branch's best sale of the year, by the way, is here. Get 25% off site-wide. Who doesn't love a luxe pair of sheets for mm-hmm. the holidays? You know, I mean, sheets, we might think, whatever. No, when you sleep on, like, good sheets, mm-hmm. you can't go back. You can't go back to the low thread count.
I won't. You can't do it.
So start with Boll & Branch's best-selling signature sheets. They're made from 100% organic cotton with the perfect balance of softness and breathability that only gets better with every wash. They've got blankets and duvets and pillows and throws. Every piece is crafted with exceptional quality and durability. Plus, it all comes with a 30-night guarantee, so you can shop and sleep worry-free.
There's no better way to sleep than in some soft-ass sheets. And that's what Boll & Branch brings you. Give yourself, so buy them for yourself, but you also get them as a gift, so everybody wins.
Yeah.
Give yourself and your loved ones the most extraordinary feeling sleep with 25% off site-wide, plus free shipping and extended returns during Boll & Branch's best sale of the year. Shop now at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Boll & Branch, bollandbranch.com/creepy, code creepy for 25% off. Exclusions apply.
And this final one here is from Jenny, and the subject line is The Mystery of the Christmas Shop Elf. Jenny writes, hello, co-hosts. As usual, love the show and love you both. Let's get into it. I used to live in a small college town in East Tennessee. We had a cute, small downtown area with shops and restaurants. One day in June or July, we were walking around and we noticed a new shop that had opened. This was not some small hole-in-the-wall place. This was a former showroom with two levels and a huge amount of space. And the business that had moved in was a year-round Christmas store. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Christmas, but my friend who was with me was, so we decided to go inside and look around. The whole shop was filled with hundreds of ornaments, tinsel, lights, etc. They had an entire section in the back that looked like a tree lot with fake trees set up. On the second story, there was a little counter space set back into the wall where they had set up a fudge shop. It was a very cute store, but I couldn't figure out how they expected to make enough money to keep this huge space running when they opened in the middle of summer in a tiny town. When we entered, we were greeted by a single staff member, a man who was probably in his early 30s, dressed up in an elf costume. He was very nice and a bit excitable, with a huge grin on his face. He welcomed us and told us to look around and to let him know if we had any questions. We started looking around, and he went to continue working on a tree in the middle of the shop that he was decorating. We perused the ornaments and went our way back to the tree section. All the while, he was on a ladder working. When we got to the tree section, there was a little flower case and a counter up against the wall. I turned to look at some of the trees, and when I turned back, there was this man standing behind the flower counter beaming at us. Neither of us had seen or heard him get down off the ladder 20 or 30 feet away, but there he was. Do you need help with anything? He asked. No, I think we're just looking, but thanks, we said. Well, you're welcome, he said, and turned to look at something in the flower fridge. We went back to looking at the trees, and a minute or so later, I turned to ask him a question, and he was gone, back to the ladder in the middle of the shop. And again, we never saw or heard him. We decided to go upstairs and look around. As we were climbing the stairs, we discussed how fast he must have been to get back and forth between the areas of the shop without us noticing, but we chalked it up to us not really paying attention. As we crested the landing to head to the fudge shop counter, this little elf man, I shit you not, pops up from behind the counter, beaming, and says, "Can I get you some fudge?" We look at each other, a little startled by his entrance, but more thrown off by the fact that in the maybe minute and a half it took us to get up the stairs, he had somehow gotten off the ladder, all the way across the store, and up the stairs. There was only one set of stairs that we could see, although maybe there were some in the back. Then he got behind the counter without being seen or heard. And remember, we were the only people in the store, and this was very big and echoey. We should have heard him moving around. We said, no, thanks. I think we have to go. We have somewhere to be. He smiled again and started to wipe down the glass on the fudge case. Now we were really weirded out and ready to get out of this Christmas hellscape. We hurry back downstairs and across the room to the front door. And yep, you guessed it. There was that little freaking elf standing at the door to bid us farewell. I never met anyone else who went into that store, and it was out of business shortly after. But I tell this story frequently as it lives rent-free in my brain 10 years later. So, what do you think? Was this man the fastest and quietest man alive? Did he have a twin? A triplet? Or was he really one of Santa's elves who just really wanted to own his own business? Thanks for reading, Jenny.
I love this guy. Holy shit. It's either triplets.
I'm in tears over the thought of this man.
Can I get you some fudge? Would you like another ornament?
Yeah. Oh, are you looking at the trees?
Like, everyone loves Christmas. And it's like, not as much as you wrote.
You're like, it's giving, June, buddy. What's going on?
It's giving like Needful Things, the Stephen King story, like yes. Mixed with the Santa Claus or something. Like,
dude.
Some guy is a shop owner, but then he made a wish to be one of Santa's elves. And like, this is how he has to live.
I'm not convinced, Jenny, you didn't stumble into another timeline. And yeah. Y'all like,
oh yeah,
I mean, the store closed down shortly after. No one else has ever been there.
Mm-mm.
Who opens up a full-on Christmas store in the middle of the summer and is mm-hmm. that delighted to work there too?
Yeah, that's that much Christmas spirit in the middle of June is off-putting. But that's a good point. Maybe the store closed because, much like in a Hallmark movie, he's like, I've completed my task and mission. And so now the portal can close and I can go home. And he goes back to being an investment banker.
The only person I have seen this excited about Christmas decor is my new favorite Dillard sales associate that I follow on TikTok, Cody McNabb.
He's amazing. Like, isn't he in Tennessee or something?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh my God. What Maybe it was Cody.
Did you mean
honestly,
Cody?
Honestly, I could see it being Cody. And it,
oh my
it,
gosh.
It,
and he's magical.
By store, I think that was just his house. Actually, yeah. I saw his apartment tour the other day, which was amazing. But
he's got such good style
I
and taste.
Love
incredible.
Him.
Incredible.
And you know, he's just like, everyone in the comments is like, you know, this store falls apart without Cody there.
100%.
And he takes 100% care of like everything and his employees, and he knows the customers. He's someone that you're like, he genuinely loves his job. Mm-hmm. And when I see people loving their job or helping me like in that way, I'm like, this makes me feel better. Cody, you're loved by the internet. And if y'all haven't followed him, go look him up on TikTok. He is just so charming and endearing. And I didn't know Dillard's had such amazing Christmas decor.
I was like, sir, you are doing more for Dillard's in these TikTok videos than Dillard's has done in their own marketing to me personally in the last 20 years of my life. Because that's probably the last time I shopped at a Dillard's. And I was like, am I about to go fuck up a Dillard's because of Cody? Like,
I might
think
go
I am.
Fuck up a Dillard's Christmas section specifically. But I want it to be Cody's Christmas section.
Yes,
so we
got
to go to Tennessee.
That's our other trip that we're going to have to do. Go to Tennessee and we can go meet Cody and maybe try to hunt down where this elf shop has opened somewhere else.
Gosh, you know Cody. You know, Jenny, who would know about this is Cody. If it wasn't Cody himself. So go find Cody, ask about this, and he'll probably be able to corroborate your story.
I think so. I feel like the Christmas cheer society is small. You know, it's like we always say, like, oh, you know, the true crime podcasting community is smaller. Like the legal community in Dallas is small. I'm like, the Christmas cheer spreaders of Tennessee, it's got to be kind of a small circle.
It's a small Facebook group, but yeah, you know, mighty.
Yes. Oh, they're powerful. You want your gingerbread house to stand? They have to bless it. If not, the shit is coming apart at the seams, and they'll see to it. And they won't even be in the room. That's Christmas magic. And that's on Christmas magic. Speaking of which, my fucking husband has left on the Hallmark channel on our TV. Oh. When we left it for the dogs, I came in. I was like, are you forcing our dogs to watch Hallmark movies? He was like, it's getting them in the spirit.
It's getting them in the spirit. Well, normally you have on the horror
monster
channel. Yeah. So
it's
at
usually
least
Universal
you've
Monsters
switched genres for this time of year.
Which is more horrifying? That's the question. But oh man. Well, if anybody has been in East Tennessee and is familiar with not just a Christmas store, because there's one in like Pigeon Forge, like this is kind of I would see more in like a tourist area. But if a random Christmas store popped up and taught some cold hearted Grinch in your town the meaning of Christmas and then was gone the next day,
Please let us know. Well, thank you, Jenny. That was the laugh that we all needed, as you said, in this current get out of this Christmas hellscape that we feel like we're living in.
Exactly. It puts us in the mood for sure.
Yes. Well, thank you to everyone who sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email, you get immediate access. Plus, you get immediate access to a whole backlog of content just for signing up for free.
It's one of our favorite things to do because not only do we get to react to the videos you send in, we get to talk to you in the chat.
Yes.
And now I forgot to order it, but I'll go and get one. But we're going to get a soundboard. So that
we have a soundboard coming.
Oh, we do. We've ordered.
Well, I mean, in
it's
theory.
Coming.
We have not ordered it.
But we've got, I know where to get it. I'll get it at the store.
We picked it out.
I'll get it at the store. But we've got, like, we have bits with you guys now, and it's like,
yeah,
I love it so much, and it really is a great way to end the week / start the week. So join us over there for free. It costs nothing. It really is. There's no catch. We just did it because we wanted a non-YouTube place together with you all, and Patreon delivered, so we'll see.
And
you
it allows us to play whatever
raw.
We want, including full songs, which have become most of the bits. Yeah. What I've always loved most about terrestrial radio talk shows was like the sound drops and stuff that they would do. And I'm like, now we're going to have a board with our own sound drops because we have songs for like, depending on how many people send them in and stuff.
Yeah.
And I love when things organically develop with a community like that. And y'all are what makes it happen. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. You're helping us fulfill our Kid Craddock in the morning dreams.
Truly. Well, if you like our free episodes like today, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. By doing so, you get access to Sunday Scaries and some content. You can get even more content if you join. Over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
And if you want to dig in and check out what all of those are without a commitment, we have a free trial. It's different than a free membership. You can be a free member forever, but a free trial is where you join at one of the tiers, you check out all the perks, and then you cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you stick around to an annual membership, you get 1 month free, and you get a ton of stuff like the bonus content plus all kinds of more stuff.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content. We let you all vote on what kind of bonus content you want to see. Both of those, we love interacting with y'all in the chats. You get weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, which great to use right now during the holiday season. And most importantly, a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. And speaking of the best listeners on the whole internet and merch discounts and Patreon, you can also gift Patreon this year, and they're making it way easier. They heard our cries and they answered.
Yeah, it's something if you already have, you can ask Santa to bring it to you. Or if you have it and love it, you can give it to somebody else. So then you guys can share, listen to the show together, listen to the bonus contents together. It's super easy. It doesn't disrupt if you already have a Patreon membership. It just simply adds on. So we can, if you go onto the Patreon website and search up gifting, they've made it super easy to walk you through. They've got the whole tutorial there. And it's the gift that keeps on giving every month. They get, actually every week they get something new.
Yeah.
Yes. Plus, if you get those merch discounts, you can head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And using those discounts, treat yourself or treat someone else.
Exactly. While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, submit your stories for Freaky Friday, Sunday Scaries, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists.
And follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes. You can do live streams there and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or the holidays got you down and you want a pep talk from us, we get it. We've been there. Book a cameo now. From happy birthdays, birth announcements, or happy any holidays, we cannot wait to create a customized video for you that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift, and it's perfect when you don't want to go stand in line at Dillard's, where Cody's not even there. You're just at some goddamn Dillard's in the middle of Dallas, and it's not even the same. No. You're like, I should have got a cameo. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood, and we can make it a holly jolly Christmas for anyone in your life. The sale, we have a sale on Cameo. Actually, it begins December 8th. So keep your eyes peeled. If you're looking to order a Cameo, it's a limited time deal that begins on December 8th at 10 a.m., ends Sunday, December 14th at 11:59. It's the final sale of the year, the holiday spectacular end of season, wonderful winter sale. Cameo went all the fuck
out. They put it all in. They put every adjective they could in that.
They did. So we'd love to see you all order those Cameos and get a great deal at it. It's 20, yeah. I think it goes down to $20. So
nice.
And if you're like, this price is different on an app, it's because it's an app. Go to cameo.com on a website computer.
Apple cameo.com. Charges you more. Don't Apple. Use Apple.
Same with Patreon, Apple, and I think the Google store now is also charging more. So go to a desktop, cut out the app middleman, and go to cameo.com/sinisterhood, the 8th through the 14th. Terms and conditions apply. It's on Cameo. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm lurking around every corner of the world wide web at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.